Popular blog author Jenny Lawson is known as the Blogess to her many fans. Last year, she published her first book, Let's Pretend This Never Happened, a mostly true memoir. The New York Times bestseller is now available in paperback. She was in town this weekend for a book signing, and she stopped by our studios for a chat. Good morning, Jenny. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
So for our listeners who maybe haven't seen your blog, it's hilariously irreverent. The language is definitely not safe for work. And you have a specific voice and a point of view. You basically just write about your life. So now you have this book. It's going gangbusters. I feel like everything is sort of clicking. But it all really started from one blog post about a giant metal chicken that went viral.
Yes.
That's how I found you.
Yes.
Full disclosure, everybody that's listening, I'm a huge fangirl. So how has this whole process been for you?
It has really come out of nowhere. Everything from the success of the blog to the success of the book. When the book opened, it debuted number one on the New York Times list. Mm-hmm. And I assumed that I was in some sort of coma. I was speaking that night and I basically told everyone, you guys should go home and eat a lot of cheesecake because you only exist in my imagination. And I'm pretty sure we're all dying. And I haven't woken up yet. I am still shocked at how... just kind of waiting for that other shoe to drop. And but it hasn't. And I think the reason why is because I have this amazing community behind me. They are, first of all, incredibly helpful and encouraging. But also, I'm very open about the fact that I have mental illness and depression and anxiety disorder and all of that fun stuff. And I think that's part of the reason why the community is so incredibly supportive, because instead of them running screaming, which is what I thought that they would do when I came out and said, I have to be honest with you about the fact that I have not showered for a week because I couldn't get out of bed because I was so depressed. Instead, they were so incredibly helpful. And there were thousands of people saying, I thought I was the only one. And that's kind of been the same reaction that I've gotten with the book, as so many people reading it and being like, I thought I was the only one who wondered why Jesus wasn't classified as a zombie since technically he came back from the grave. You know, I mean, there are all of these little things where you're like, oh, yeah. So people can relate even if they can't relate, you know?
Right. And you write a lot about on your blog and in Twitter and everything mm-hmm. else about your struggles with anxiety and with depression. So why are you so passionate about sharing that?
Well, when I first shared it, I shared it because I felt like I had no other choice. I felt like I was creating this false history by writing these posts that were, you know, I'd find old posts that I hadn't, you know, scheduled yet, and I would put them in when, in fact, I was just, you know, laying on the couch thinking, oh, just breathe. Every moment that I breathe, I'm surviving, and that's all I can do is just survive this. And then I, you know, finally came out about it, and I really didn't think that it would be anything other than just me kind of being honest about it. But what I found was not only that so many people saying, you know, I can relate to this, I thought I was the only one, but so many people, I actually have this folder, which I called the folder of 24, and it was 24 different people who sent me emails saying that they were actively in the process of planning to kill themselves and decided not to, not because of anything I wrote, but because of the response to what I had written. Because thousands of other people would say, oh my gosh, me too, except mine is I struggle with being, you know, bipolar or manic depressive, or, you know, I can't tell anybody in my family, or people don't understand. And they would see that and be like, I'm really not alone. I mean, so many people at one time or another have these struggles, or your brain is lying to you and trying to kill you. And I think once those emails started to come in, especially I get a lot of them from really 14, 15-year-old kids who will read the book and be like, oh, I thought – not only did I think I was alone with mental illness, but also I thought I would be alone, that no one would ever understand me. And then they find this community that is built around us, and they realize I'm not the only intellectual misfit. I totally have this tribe. And even though I'm maybe out in the middle of nowhere where nobody understands me, one day I'll be able to find the people who get me.
When I was preparing for this, I asked people on Facebook, you know, what should I ask? And somebody did write that your book really got her through a pretty rough time. Does it still surprise you to hear stuff like that?
It absolutely does. A couple of days ago, there was a family that came, and it was a mother and father and a daughter, and she was 16, and they came to say thank you because after reading the book, she told them that she was suicidal, mm-hmm. and they were able to, you know, get her into an institution and get her the help that she needed. And every single time, I'm surprised at how lucky I am to be part of a community where you can see the good, positive, amazing things that happen. It's really helpful for me, too, because even though, you know, you always want to feel like, you know, that you can not only combat mental illness, but that you can overcome it. And it is a process. It's not something where you're just like, woohoo, I'm done with depression. So whenever I have those periods where I have to tell myself depression lies, all the stuff in my head where I think the world would be better off without me, that is not true. I can go back and look at those letters and read these letters of other people who are going through the same thing and be like, oh, it's so obvious to me that the world needs these people. So if the world needs these people, the world probably needs me too. So I need to listen to that.
I'm speaking with Jenny Lawson, author of New York Times bestseller, Let's Pretend This Never Happened. Can we talk about the traveling red dress?
Yes.
Okay. First of all, just briefly explain what it is.
Okay. I have always wanted to wear a giant, poofy, strapless red dress and never had the opportunity to and never would have the opportunity to. It's just always one of those things in the back of my head that I always wanted to do. And I finally thought, you know what? If I don't do this for myself, if I don't get myself a giant, poofy red dress to wear, no one ever will do that for me. And you spend so much time, you know, taking care of everyone else. Sometimes you need to do those things for you. So I got the dress. And one of my friends went and took photographs of me, and we live in Texas, so the only green place is a cemetery. So we like go out in the middle of a cemetery and we're, you know, taking pictures. And I shared it on my blog and said, everybody should go out and find your own red dress. And maybe that red dress is taking flying lessons or trapeze lessons or whatever it is that you felt like, oh, it's too much. I'm not worth it. I should spend it on, you know, the kids or on the house or whatever. And someone responded and said, my red dress is combating agoraphobia, and I'm going to leave the house and I'm going to go to this conference, and that's going to be my finish line, is being able to do it. And I was going to the same conference, and so I was like, I'll bring the red dress and you can wear it. And so she wore it, and we, you know, took pictures, and they were, you know, just really great, wonderful. It was a great moment. And then someone else said, you know, I'm battling cancer, and I would love to be able to wear the red dress when I go into chemo to be like, you know, screw you, cancer.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know if I could say that.
You're fine.
But okay. And so I sent it to her, and then it went to the next person who was buying their first house ever at the age of 50, and she wanted to wear it on the front porch. And so it became this traveling red dress, and it traveled all, it's been all over the world. And now there are all of these people who donate their red dresses from proms and things like that. And there's a whole Facebook page where people just donate their red dresses, and other people take them and take pictures and then pass them on. And so there are thousands of red dresses all over the world that are going back and forth from men and women who just want to share them.
It's really wonderful and sort of inspiring when you tweet pictures or you post on your blog about it. It's been really neat to sort of watch that. And all just because you wanted to feel pretty and to...
Right, right. And then it just spreads into this enormous, amazing thing. And I actually did the Katie Couric show because of the red dress. And it was so funny because I was sitting on her couch, and they put me in and you know, my red dress was like a homemade red dress, but they put me in like a fancy red dress from a designer and everything. And I was like, you know, all this happened because I had the ridiculous idea that I needed to take care of myself for one moment. And then it just opens yourself up to so many other wonderful things.
Well, you write a lot about taxidermied animals and everything. And, you know, in your book, you talk about how people show up with the craziest things at your book signings. What is the craziest thing somebody has brought to a book signing?
Let's see. I would say I get a lot of people who come up with wild boars, like on wheels, where they will pull them up. But I have the most fantastic, bizarre, wonderful, like this great community. And so it's not unusual. Like last night, somebody came in with like a giant full-sized unicorn head.
All right, last question, just a real fast one. I asked people on Facebook what I should ask, and by far, the biggest question was, do you get an increased cut of the sales of giant metal chickens?
I don't, but oh my gosh, I totally should. And what's funny is I go to flea markets, and in Texas, you can find them pretty often. And I will go and I'll see the giant metal chickens, and I'll ask, you know, I'm like, so how are they selling? And they'd be like, oh yeah, they're selling really well. There was apparently some woman that wrote this like crazy blog, and now we can't keep them on the shelves. And I'm always like, that crazy woman. Oh.
Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. This is fun.
I've been speaking with the blogess, otherwise known as Jenny Lawson. Her book, Let's Pretend This Never Happened, is now available in paperback, and you'll find more information about it at WVXU.org. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Tana Weingartner.